When I was last with you, I was speaking about vision. And in doing so, one of the things I said was that was to encourage you to claim all that is outside this building as his. Those are at the end of my address the last time I was with you. Claim all that is outside this building as his. And I've been thinking about that since we last met. In particularly looking at, if we did that, how we would look on a day-by-day basis. What would that actually mean? And as I thought more and more about that, Matthew 5, particularly verses 14 to 16, kept coming into my mind. Now that portion of scripture is it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes where we're encouraged. Can we just turn the volume down a little bit, because we're getting quite a bit of echo somewhere. The Beatitudes are things we are to be, how we are to act as Christians, how we're to be and how we are to act. And there's a whole list of things there. But at the end of that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 14 to 16, Jesus says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill, can it be hidden? Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives the light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Wow, quite a statement that, isn't it? You know, as I considered the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, I realized that in that Sermon on the Mount, there's both a vision, the vision being to glorify God, that's the vision, and also how we're to do it, what we're to be, how we're to act, a vision and a strategy or a mission. It makes it very clear that we glorify God by reflecting his love. You know, a relevant image of just that procedure is an image of moonlight. The moon has no light of its own. The moon is but a dead rock. It has no light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun, and in doing so, it benefits us all. And in the same way, we are called to be a light. We're called to be the light. The light of the world. A famous preacher from another generation, D.L. Moody, said this, and it's hugely challenging. D.L. Moody said, "Poor world, what a faint light is received from most Christians. The lighthouse, if it's not shining a light, is a peril instead of a safeguard. Men do not stumble when the lamp shines brightly." We're left with that question, am I shining brightly? Do I shine brightly? Another challenging quote from Dr. E. Stanley Jones, a famous Methodist missionary, was asked to name the number one problem of the church. And this is what he said. He replied that the number one problem was the irrelevance of the church. He further said that 3/4 of the opposition that the church receives stems from disappointment. He went on to say that the church promises to make people different, but the promise goes largely unfulfilled. In other words, he's saying there, we're called to be the light of the world, but somehow we dampen that light as Christians. We don't live it through. We don't think we're qualified. We don't think we're able. And as D.L. Moody says, the light goes out. And a lighthouse with any light, without any light, is a stumbling block. It's a peril. We're called to be the light of the world. You know, we can put all those things to right of D.L. Moody and the other gentleman. We can put all that to right by being a relevant light. We want to be a light that makes a difference. We don't want to disappoint. Let our vision be to glorify God in what we do as individuals and as a church, locally and universally. I want us to look a little bit more closely at that idea of who we are, the light of the world. And I want us to take confidence from it, the light of the world. You look at the person just next to you in your seat. You are the light of the world. Just say that to somebody. Just turn and say, you're the light of the world. If you know Jesus, you are the light of the world. Whatever you think about yourself, you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said this at a point in his ministry, where he was quite well known by this time. He was gathering large crowds. He was traveling throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of God, healing diseases, reaching out to the needs of the people. People were coming from Galilee in the north, Jerusalem in the south, and all over the place to hear him. He was becoming a main attraction, headliner throughout those regions. And on this particular day, we find Jesus speaking on this mount, speaking to hundreds of thousands of people in his famous Sermon on the Mount. He tells the crowd how they are to be in the world. This is what you're to be. If you know me and you've invited me into your life, this is who you are. This is how you're to be. This is how you're to act. This is how you are to display yourself to the world. This is what your demeanor is to be. This is to be your behavior. And when you do that, you are the light of the world. People would have come with all sorts of doubts and faults and failings and worries and who they were. And yet he takes hold of them and he says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you're the light of the world if you've got this qualification or that qualification, if you're young, if you're old. He doesn't break people down in that sense. He just says, you all, if you know me, you're light of the world. It's a profound thing to say, isn't it? It sounds a bit like the message of self-help books that we see in our shops today, or words that maybe social influencers social influencers propagate on YouTube or something. You know, self-help books are the one of the biggest genres of books that are sold anywhere in the world. Self-help. And essentially what they say is, tell yourself that you're great. Tell yourself that you're wonderful. Keep on repeating it. And then if you keep on repeating it, then you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you put your mind to. But you know, experience tells us that that help that comes from these gurus is just a technique made to make us feel good. And Jesus is no self-help guru. That's not who Jesus is. He wouldn't say something like that unless he meant it and that it has real substance. On this day he was talking to those thousands who had come to listen to him and follow him. But he also knew that his words would be written down in the record books as well. And that we as Christians today would hear him speaking these words to us as well. 2,000 years later. You are the light of the world, he said to them. And he says that to us as well. And he wouldn't say that if he didn't mean it. Why did he say it? You know, when we look at the verb in this statement of you are the light of the world, it's in its present tense. It's in its present status. He's not telling us there's something to be. He says you are that already. You are that already. It's as if you know me, you already have your status as a baptized believer in Christ. You already have it. You've been healed of your sins through the death of Jesus on the cross. You are the light of the world. You have been shown the God of grace. God's love and God's word has shone the light of Christ on you. And he said that you are forgiven. You're loved. You're saved. You belong to Jesus. Present tense. You are. Not something to aspire to or to will happen at some future day. You are already. His spirit lives in you and I and permeates every cell in our being. Wow. We've been showered with Jesus. You know, I mentioned earlier of the moon wonderfully reflecting the light of the sun. And the light we are talking about today is even more glorious because it reflects the light of Jesus. I don't have to work, and you don't have to work for that status. You and I already have it. It comes naturally as a baptized believer. It comes naturally, or supernaturally, I should perhaps say. Supernaturally, wonderfully, it comes. So we're called to be reflectors. You know, even as Christians, we sometimes doubt ourselves and our abilities. But this is what Jesus says about you when you are brought to faith in him. So when you tell yourself that you're a failure, when you tell yourself that you're a mess, when you tell yourself you have no skills or abilities, when you tell yourself that God hates you for your past, or God doesn't want you, Those things are lies. That's not God's word. That's our words. God says you're not worthless. You are not darkness. You're not hated by him. He says you are the light of the world. And light is made to shine. Light only has one purpose, and that's to shine. To shine. Its sole purpose. God made the sun to shine. He made the moon to shine as well. It's why they were placed in the sky, in the exact place where they are. It's also why God placed you in this world as well, in the exact place that you are. God placed you in this world in the exact place where you are. Your work, your school, your street, your family, Sandy Baptist Church. He's placed you exactly where you are so that you can be a reflector for him. So the challenge is to let our light shine. Be who you are. Be who you are. Let your light shine in people's presence so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus equates reflection of God's love with good works. And James says somewhat similar when he writes, faith without works is dead. Reflection of God's love with good works. You know, I believe that every time we pick up our Bibles and every time we read Scripture, it should leave us asking questions of ourselves. We should always be asking questions of ourselves. And on this occasion, I find myself asking, am I reflecting Christ through my words and deeds? Am I reachable for the needs of people? Am I reliable for God and people? I've been made for good works. Am I doing them? I've been made to be a reflector of God's love. Am I doing it? Do I regularly refocus on the light and the knowledge that I'm unique and reborn by the Spirit to express and glorify God through my deeds? Do I reflect on that? So I want to leave you with these last few words. Don't be afraid to let your light shine now. Now. I remember many years ago when I was a young Christian, and I didn't become a Christian until I was almost middle-aged. But I had certain understanding of what I was being called to be. And I remember speaking to a lady who had been a Christian for some time, and she was wrestling with the, should I get baptized, should I not get baptized, etc., etc. And as we spoke and talked, she said, I'm just not good enough to be baptized. I haven't got there yet. She had got herself into a situation where she thought it was about her goodness rather than God's love and forgiveness. And I was pleased that it was one of my first things I was able to sort of use what limited Christian understanding I had. It was the first time I felt I had done some good. And I said, where the words come from, I don't know. I just said, don't wait until you're perfect, because that'll never happen. And within some months, she was baptized. So let your light shine now, even if you feel inadequate. God has equipped you for now. He's equipped you for now. He will equip you for the future as well. Don't wait until you're perfect. Don't be afraid to let your light shine. Do not let your past make you afraid. Live in the presence. Live in the present, sorry. Because, why? Because you're the light of the world. If you don't let your light shine wherever you are, then you are allowing darkness to prevail. Let your light shine. Because it's only in this way can we reach the whole world with his message of love. It's only in this way can you reach out to the darkness that's in Sandy. It's only in this way through you. It's the only way in which Sandy can be reached and claimed for God. Let us pray. Father, thank you when you call us to mission, that you also equip us. Lord, help us to have a new understanding of who we are in you. Give us energy and courage, Lord, to use the gifts that you've given us so that we might rejoice in seeing darkness being dispelled and your love lighting up our whole world. Well, we ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to come to